Yeah, I believe in evolution. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't usually voice crack like that. That's really embarrassing, especially on a live in front of 500 people.
That's all right. I'll edit it out in post.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Anyway, I'm like a young Earth creationist. So what's your like problem with that specifically?
Literally every single shred of evidence runs counter to that idea.
Okay, so do you like have any of that evidence?
Yeah, we can see for billions of light years. That's unacceptable if the universe is 6,000 years old.
So we're 6,000 years old, the universe?
You said you're a young Earth creationist.
I'm sorry, I don't think No, I thought that wasn't your claim. That's why I'm confused. Is that what you said?
Young Earth creationists think the universe is about 6,000 years old.
Yeah, but that's not what evolution says, right?
Yeah, but you said you're a young Earth creationist, so I...
Yeah, that's why I'm confused, because okay, did you not just claim that?
Yeah, I know, that's fine. There are multiple layers to why young Earth creationism can't possibly be true. So if we just stick with evolution, then yes, we have incontrovertible evidence that life on this planet goes back millions and billions of years.
Okay, so what would be a piece of that evidence? That's why I'm a little bit confused. Like you said something about...
The vast majority of the fossil record.
So like, can you dig into that a bit? Like what is... So the fossil record, is that different than like the rock layers or...
Well, the fossils are embedded within rock layers, so you can date specific types of rocks and minerals in the layers, and so then you can figure out how old the fossils are. And we get dates of many... I mean, some fossils are... I don't know what the youngest fossil ever discovered is. That's an interesting question. I guess I don't know. But some of them are just a few million... Tens of millions, hundreds of millions, even a few billion years old.
So how do you know that, though? It just seems like people can say that, but like...
Scientists know how to make scientific measurements. The same way we know that things fall at 9.8 meters per second squared, there's absolutely no real difference qualitatively than how we come to that information versus how we come to the information about how old fossils are.
Okay, so for example, like, how old are you? Like, 40, 30?
I'm going to be 35 soon.
Okay, and, like, how do you measure that? Like, do you see where I'm a little confused here? You're talking about measuring time. Like, what does that even mean?
Well, for me, what I'm telling you is how many cycles the Earth has made around the sun. When we talk about like regular matter, just in space or on Earth or on the moon or whatever, it doesn't have calendars, it doesn't keep track, but there are certain cycles. Calling this one a cycle is a little bit weird, but there are ways that matter change that are that's measurable. So we can count tree rings. We can count sediment deposits, or we can count the number of radioactive isotopes that are in the sample. You really have to look at the ratio of them to other parent material and daughter products, essentially. We can do that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really... I don't see what that has to do with evolution, but here's kind of like my problem. So how can you have like... So
the fossils from very long ago in Earth's past, none of them are the organisms we see today, but organisms come about through reproduction. So what we have is organisms of the past that were different than the ones of today, but we are their descendants, ergo species change over time.
Okay, so, I mean, like, I believe in extinction and stuff like that, getting rid of species. How do you know, like, maybe we started with all of them and they didn't just slowly get dwindled out over time?
Because if that... Because
that makes sense.
No. well, like, logically, I can understand the claim. But So there are fossil sites. I mean, we have so many fossils that we know which organisms did and did not coexist. So like in the La Brea Tar Pits in Los Angeles, I mean, they have found tens of thousands of animals in there. Somehow, no dinosaurs. All these different Pleistocene or whatever era it is, mammals, but literally zero dinosaurs. It's not like they don't find reptiles. Yeah, they find reptiles in there. They find birds in there. They find, I mean, the range of animals is really incredible, but no dinosaurs whatsoever. And it's not like that's hardly the only site. We have the Mammoth site in Hot Springs, South Dakota. We have Ashfall in Nebraska. Huge numbers of sites where huge numbers of Cenozoic mammals have perished. Not a single dinosaur to be found among any of them. Similarly, we know, like, the Hell Creek Formation, tons of huge numbers of very famous sites where you can find dinosaurs. How the heck is it that there are no woolly mammoths or puppy dogs or kitty cats or people or anything like that in any of them? But then we have literally millions of trilobites. We have so many trilobites that even though they're incredibly old, you can buy them for like $10. They're actually pretty cheap. Really, really good ones are more expensive, but you can get a whole one for like 10, 12 bucks. And yet no dinosaurs have ever been found among them. So we know, and we've been able to date how old they are. So you can tell by the arrangement of the fossils that certain critters never coexisted, and we can track the ages. No dinosaur fossil ever dated to more recently than 66 million years ago. No mammoth fossil ever dated to older than, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but whenever it is, dinosaurs and mammoths never coexisted.
Yeah, I think there's a huge problem here. The fact is, like, we don't have any of the animals today fossilized, so how can we even compare that? Like, how is that a fair comparison if we don't have, like, our own to back it up, the stuff we know is here today? Because isn't that what empirical evidence is all about, what you can see today?
I have literally no idea what you're even trying to ask. Why would I need a fossil of something alive today? Yeah, yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is, like, if you're going to claim that these things from however long ago, what, like 20 million years or something existed, how are you going to say that these fossils are real if we don't even have fossils of the things alive today? Like, it just doesn't make sense, because you're going to need to have something to compare it with, right? But yeah, you really don't.
That does not make any sense. We compare fossils to other fossils. I have no idea why the fact that there are no fossilized Homo sapiens is a problem. I still have no idea.
Well, you would think that if, like, fossilization was a true phenomenon or something like that, you would expect that it would happen to everything, not just these older creatures, right? Yeah.
Fossilization takes an incredibly long amount of time. We can track the rate of, like, permineralization, the rate at which minerals replace tissue, and it's, like, it's extraordinarily slow. So, yeah, this is fatal to young Earth creationism, because we know of bodies that are many thousands of years old, like bog bodies. If you've never looked them up, you should look them up.
No, really, I don't know what that is. I know what bar bodies are.
Okay, so a bog is like a kind of like a swamp in a way. So there are bodies that have been found in them, perfect conditions for some fossilization, and these bodies date back to 4,000 to 5,000 years old. And yet none of them are fossilized. But the creationists are trying to tell us that basically all the fossils on planet Earth happened during Noah's flood. Well, obviously that didn't happen at all. Or you can look at like...
No, wait. Are you claiming that Noah's flood didn't happen?
Didn't happen?
Yeah, are you trying to say it didn't happen?
It very obviously did not happen, yeah.
No, what?
the entire surface of the Earth would have been vaporized if it happened. The atmosphere would be
Wait. Water doesn't vaporize things.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, like, maybe it breaks them down. Like, I would agree that it breaks them down. Like, if you look at a river or a cave, like, obviously water did that over time. But you're telling me water, if it, why isn't the Earth destroyed right now if water is vaporizing things? I mean, like 70% of it's water, right?
Oh, you sweet summer child. So
What?
when water vapor turns into a cloud, it has to release heat, right?
Sure. Well, no, I guess I don't really know where you're going with this, but
So
sure, yeah.
water only evaporates when it absorbs energy, right? Sunlight make water evaporate. You with me so far?
Yes. Yeah, that makes
Okay.
sense.
So then
Because it's hot.
when the vapor condenses into liquid droplets, becomes a cloud, the energy doesn't cease to exist. It has to release the heat.
Okay, and what happens to the heat?
Well,
So it releases, but what does that mean?
it goes into the atmosphere. So this has been calculated many times. Just to form the rain necessary for the flood would release an amount of heat that would boil all of the water on our planet. So there goes that. Also, the young Earth creationists, again, they claim that the vast majority of the rock layers on the surface of our planet are flood deposits. The problem is
Okay.
for
Yeah, well, that kind of proves
sediment.
my point, right?
No. Jeez. No, because when those sedimentary type rocks like limestone are formed, it releases heat too. Now, it releases a microscopic amount of heat, but we're talking about millions upon millions of cubic kilometers. Well, I don't know about millions of cubic kilometers, but definitely probably billions of square meters or cubic meters. I don't know. Well, if it's billions of cubic meters, then it's millions of square kilometers, cubic kilometers, whatever. This has also been calculated in order to form all of the flood rocks on our planet. It would release an amount of heat that is something like multiple nuclear bombs going off within every square mile. So the atmosphere is obliterated, the oceans are boiled away, and the surface of our planet is vaporized if the biblical flood happened. I look around me and I see that those things are not the case. It didn't happen.
So do you think like the world would have like fully exploded, like it would have gone to the core and stuff like that?
No, I really doubt that.
Okay, so like why couldn't it be just the Earth used to be larger? Because I feel like the Bible would even support something like that, the Earth being larger at that time. Like do you see what I'm saying? Like how that could be. All
No.
right, bro.
If you're like my guest and you can't read either, I do have good news. I created audiobooks of both my books available on my Shopify store.
I mean, the Earth is shrinking, right?
No.
What? Like, it's not, it's losing matter and particles that are like floating off into the atmosphere.
No. We're losing our atmosphere at an incredibly slow rate.
Aren't
But
we
no.
losing like water too?
No.
Okay, well, I guess we are like, I guess like, when does it stop being a theory for you? Like, what's the, I'm like a little confused on that part. So, well, what's the difference between a fact and a theory? Let's just start there for this, because that.
Scientific theories are kinds of facts. So there are lots of facts that have nothing to do with science, like this is a pencil. That's not a scientific fact, right?
It definitely is.
No, Montpelier is the capital of Vermont. That is not a scientific fact. This is just something that is just known to be true or well, that's like the definition of what a fact is. But we didn't use science to come to that knowledge. The
I mean, what, science?
definition of quizzaciously is not, we don't use scientific knowledge to come to know what the definition of a word like quizzaciously is.
How can you even subscribe to science when it doesn't even account for all the variables
We're
possible?
gonna do one question at a time.
Okay.
Scientific theories are kinds of facts that use a specific methodology to gather the information. That methodology is called science. It's not necessarily the scientific method, because that's an experimental thing. But there we go. So that is how.
So
why trust science like when it can't control
a political theory? Like a political theory is just, yeah, well, it's just like a guess based on things that we've seen, but it's not really describing something true.
Political science is a kind of science, but it's an extremely low resolution science because of how complicated politics is. Because politics has to deal with...
Well, I'm a political analyst for Turning Point, so I think I'd know.
Oh, fucking puke. God. Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with that?
Literally
everything.
Well, you
probably celebrated when
not as much as Erica has been. She and I have one thing in common.
Bro, don't
we're both extremely
it's
giddy
disgusting.
About it. All she does is run
it's
around
disgusting.
Smiling and grifting and taking money and going on world.
Bro, what is this? This has nothing to do with
world grifting tours.
You don't have to defame
you're
people
the one that
and,
brought it up.
Well, I'm trying to tell you the difference between political science and like
yes. So
natural
politics.
Science. You don't seem to know, though.
Politics involves thousands and millions of people, and people are very complex things. And what can persuade or dissuade them, or the way one particular thing in the country, in the society, or whatever, slightly changes, and then can change, you know, people's opinions. Then there goes all of the, you know, research and whatever you were doing, you know, beforehand.
So I guess where are you going with this? Where are you going with this?
Well, you were saying that, well, then that's no different than science. I'm just telling you, political science is a kind of science. It's just really low resolution because of how complex it is. Or like the weather.
Well,
you don't think
it's
that
it's not like natural science because you
I know
it's not
yeah.
built on natural science. It's just completely different. We're dealing with people.
No,
they're
not really.
The same.
No, the people.
Oh, absolutely.
The people are treated kind of like machines.
Think about a person versus a dog. Like, do you understand how much variation there is in like a human being compared to like a dog? Like, you can scientifically measure
humans
like
are
what
a
dog
bit
does,
less
but with a human.
Yeah.
Less predictable? Yeah, not even a little bit. There's incredibly less predictable. Like, there's no way to actually scientifically measure it. It's all descriptive. You can't really, like, predetermine something and then sort of place it into, like, this political science realm based on natural science. It just doesn't work that way.
It does with conservatives, because
you know,
if Donald Trump said that pee is stored in the balls, you guys would all believe it. If Donald Trump said, hey, actually, there is no client list, the Epstein files are a hoax,
stored in the bladder,
you guys actually would believe it. And you do. Yeah.
No,
if Charlie Kirk went to the White House and said, hey, I don't like all this like war stuff you're doing. And then Donald Trump said, shut the fuck up, nerd. You're going to do what I tell you, which he also did with Charlie Kirk with the Epstein files.
Okay,
then Charlie would go on his podcast and say, hey, look, guys, I'm just going to trust the administration on this. And I'm actually in favor of interventionist.
You know,
now,
maybe you should be happy. We're
because
not getting bombed.
if you just throw Charlie a little bit of money, then Charlie will. Charlie's a very well-trained
dude,
dog.
He's dead.
Or was.
He's a dead guy.
Yeah, was.
Come on, dude. That is... I mean, like, I don't even know how to react to that. Moving on, though.
Well, he was a pathetic little grifting dweeb.
Let's segue out of this.
These are just
There's
the
no
facts.
Point. There's no point.
Okay.
I mean, you don't want to get yourself banned for this, right?
So you're not in favor of free speech anymore?
No, I'm just saying TikTok would ban you for talking like this.
Okay.
Like, if you got enough reports
Do you
stacked
support
up, right?
That?
No.
Okay. Well, then fact, what
you know, I don't even know if I necessarily support free speech. I just think it's a mechanism that a government uses to sort of control people, not even control people, but they use free speech as a mechanism to gather support rather than they like point to some sort of here's the point. God never said that free speech was a right. God told us not to kill people. Is something funny about that?
So you trust the government to police our speech?
Depends who's running it, but yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ, you're such an idiot.
Sure, man. Sure.
And
all right.
And so was and so was Charlie. He did believe in he did believe in things. To his credit, you know, he wanted to interview Tucker Carlson, and that made Bibi Netanyahu really upset. So, you know, Bibi made some calls and talked to Erica, and they had a fall guy, you know, ready for it. So they took care of that problem. So
yeah, definitely.
I actually admire Charlie for, you know, sticking up for what he believed in that respect, at least.
One of the few people who care about America left. Well, I guess not anymore, but, you know, we have to carry the message forward.
Except when Donald Trump called him into the Oval Office and yelled at him and told him to stop talking about that particular thing. Then Charlie said, well, you know, I need the prestige and the money and the influence, so I'm going to abandon what I believe in, like the Epstein files, an interventionist's war, and just do what Daddy Donald says. Yeah.
Except for the most important.
Yeah, I would absolutely love that. Except for when it came to the most important things, Charlie believed in what Charlie believed in.
Yeah, you know, protecting America freedoms, supporting the middle class, extending its reach, supporting. What are you shaking your head for? What's so crazy about this?
What policy that Charlie advocated for did anything?
Charlie didn't
for the
make
middle
policies.
Class?
He was a commentary. He said
advocated for.
For the middle class, besides the BBB.
Yeah, like what?
The Big Beautiful Bill.
Which did what?
This has nothing to do with the tax cuts.
Yeah,
I feel
we should get back. Right. Yeah, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's fine.
Okay. Here, I'll give my qualms with your sort of position in general. So I'll tell you what. I'd first say I believe in the Big Bang, but the biggest problem with it is that you don't know what caused it. You need a cause to everything. That's how everything works. Like you learn that in elementary school.
Cause and effect. That has nothing to do with whether or not I can know facts about it other than where it came from or whatever. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier.
That's fine, but that doesn't
overturn all of our other knowledge. I mean, this is exactly how flat earthers talk. When we look at the universe, we see that it's expanding. It's just Big Bang confirmed right there. Now there's other stuff about the Big Bang.
I believe in the Big Bang.
So your only qualm is we don't know where the Big Bang came from?
Well, we do know it came from God, the Abrahamic
you don't know
Christian
that.
God specifically.
You believe
yes,
in
I
that.
Do.
No, you don't know that.
So how do you know your facts? Like, explain it to me. How do you know something to be true for you? Like, what is your... At what point do you know something to be true for you?
So knowledge is justified true belief, and true is that which corresponds
justified.
With reality.
What does justification
so,
mean?
Again,
what does justification mean?
Justification is just...
for you, like, what counts as justification?
As, like, a good or rational justification?
Sure. Well,
that's kind of nebulous like that. I wouldn't say that has an answer. I think it's going to have a bunch of answers. So it's going to have to follow.
I'm sorry. Does that mean it changes based on the conversation topic? What counts as justification for you?
Well, it can in a sense, because what justifies scientific knowledge is very different from what justifies social norms, I guess. Those are just completely different things.
Well, social norms come from God, first of all. If that's what you're asking about.
Yeah, like if a woman is raped, then the father can force her to marry her rapist. Yeah.
No.
No,
that's not a social norm.
It's literally in the Bible. No, I know it's from God.
Yeah, God doesn't believe that. Do you know about the concept of working with people within their time?
That's,
to make him better. It's called pragmaticism.
Oh, so God's just pragmatic. Okay.
Yeah, he actually is. Because
then we just need to be pragmatic, I guess.
Well, yeah, maybe we should be. The first way to be pragmatic is to, does God change? What does that even mean?
God changes all the time.
In what ways? Name one.
Do you live in a new covenant?
In a new covenant? I guess, yeah.
Okay, well then God changed. Okay.
Well, that's not him changing. That's him developing his moral rules so that way they're more achievable by us.
Change over time.
They're more achievable.
Things that develop necessarily change over time. That's,
yeah, but that's not him changing. That's his limitations for us changing. Oh, that's his decision changing. Like, it's as humans got smarter and more rational and were able to see God more clearly and understand his viewpoint, we sort of, he was able to shift his rule. That's what the New Testament is. It allows us to get closer to him. God doesn't have limitations. People do. As we got closer to the limitations he set out, he's able to extend them.
You know what else has
Does
nothing...
Does that make sense to you?
No. You know what else has nothing to do with evolution?
Of course it doesn't. Sure.
This has nothing to do with
evolution. Okay, yeah. I can connect it back to evolution if you want. So, yeah, the very best I can say is that evolution happens on a very small scale. So, people change over time. You want to explain to me how we can go from 23 chromosomes to like 13 or 16 or 9 or any of these other numbers we find in other animals?
We don't turn into other animals.
Isn't that what evolution says?
So, no. What you're,
that things turn into different animals over time?
Yeah, yeah, but what you said is not that. You might... like... You said, how does a human turn into an animal with 9 chromosomes? That's, we don't do that.
Well, how did an animal before us turn to us with 23, right? 23?
We have 23 pairs of chromosomes. We have 46 total.
Right, so 46 total, yeah.
Yes, so the other great apes have one extra chromosome pair. So in order for that to be the case, then there are a couple things you can imagine, but a chromosomal fusion would be, that was the most sensible prediction. And then, lo and behold, we figured out how to sequence chromosomes, and we found out that, yes, the human chromosome number 2 is a fusion of 2 other chromosomes. When you compare our chromosome number 2 to chromosomes from, like, chimpanzees, our chromosome 2 has exactly the same genes as 2 of theirs do, in the exact same order, with one of them inverted, because the chromosomes fused like this. The chromosome fusion site for chromosome number 2, this has been known for a really long time.
So it couldn't have been that God just reused the same genes because it was easier? Is that not possible?
Why would an all-powerful God do something like that? So what you're doing
because
here...
Because it makes sense.
But
go ahead. What am I doing?
You ever watch South Park?
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode with Captain Hindsight?
Captain Hindsight? I don't think so. What, like, is that early in the show?
Yeah, it was like in the middle. So it was really funny.
Okay.
Every time there was a natural disaster, this superhero named Captain Hindsight would fly in, and then he would say, oh, well, what they should have done was this, that, and that, and then they shouldn't have done this, that, and the other thing. And then for some reason, everybody thinks that that's a superpower. It's not. So when we're talking about,
I would say hindsight in itself kind of is a superpower. Being able to go back, analyze history, and realize where we made mistakes. A lot of people can't do that. I'm assuming you probably struggle in that realm.
No. I'm not saying hindsight's useless, but it's definitely not a superpower. You know what's better than what would at least be preferable is to, instead of in hindsight, realize what you did wrong, predict what the failures would be, and then make sure that they don't happen. Like when we flew to the moon, there were so many things that could have gone wrong, but we tested for pretty much all of them. And then we made sure that those problems didn't become problems, except for Apollo 13, but they did make it back. But anyways, so going back to this whole thing about the chromosome, what you're doing is called post hoc. Okay.
Are we going to start talking about like linguistic gymnastics? Is that what we're going to move to?
No, this is really simple. So anybody can take the facts after the facts have been gathered and then say, oh yeah, those facts are my facts. Here's how I'm going to force them to work with my worldview. What we did was we predicted what would happen, and then it came true. Anybody
yeah,
can
you
do
predicted post-hoc evolution. Isn't that literally post hoc then? You predicting something that you claim already happened by saying you no. predicted evolution?
No, we predicted very specific evidence.
So you're saying you predicted you would find certain evidence. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I mean, I guess I don't really intuitively have a problem with that specifically. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's as good of an explanation since it lacks as much explanatory power as something like God.
But God is, there's zero explanatory they power have, in God. You didn't I give can, an explanation. You
it
gave
tells
a
you,
post hoc
it tells
rationalization.
You, like, give me one example and I can show you how God is a better example. Like,
how did God create the universe?
How did God create the universe?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know how the universe was created, so maybe that's not a great example. But
okay,
but
I can tell you, like,
how did God
same
cause
way he the, created everything else?
Sure. How did God cause the 2004 Indonesian tsunami that killed 250,000 people? How did he do that?
How did he do it?
Yeah.
Like, specifically, he willed it to happen, I guess.
That's an explanation?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a scientific
I don't know,
explanation,
like, acting,
which is that there was an earthquake
with
and a,
limited knowledge to explain how God does things. Something that
so
exists,
you just went from I have
reality.
More explanatory power to admitting I have no idea how God does
no,
anything.
No, that's not what I did and at all.
You went
just
from,
because I don't.
You
I
went
know
from
what
100
is,
to zero in
know.
3 seconds flat.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't have a basis for anything. You just. Claim things happened.
The tsunami in 2004 was caused by an undersea earthquake, which caused part of the ocean crust to lift
yeah,
up. We know that.
Sure.
Okay.
And
what's your
yeah,
alternative?
God made it that way. God made it that way.
what evidence of that do you have?
It's in everything. I mean, have you even heard of the idea that we are fit for
have
our
ever seen
environment?
A tree? Yeah.
Or that our environment is fit almost perfectly for us.
It's
as well
not.
As every other creature on Earth. Yes, it is.
Go outside.
There's a reason we can't
go outside and drink
in the vacuum of space.
Go outside and drink water out of a random puddle. See how that
I'm sure
works
I'll be
for
fine.
You.
Yeah, I'm sure, I mean, as long as it's not mosquito infested, I'm sure I'll be fine.
Oh, well, I thought it was perfect though.
Just because? What do you mean? Like, he didn't make us immortal. That's not what perfection
not
means in this case.
What does
it
perfect mean?
When we say perfection, it means perfectly fit for the like organism to survive in its environment. We are perfectly fit okay. for our environment.
If I dropped you onto
and our environment is perfectly fit for us.
If I dropped you naked onto, if I spun a globe and just pointed to some random place on the
it's
world,
it's not our environment. And it's not our environment.
Okay, well then it's not perfectly suited for you.
Well, the entire Earth isn't our
you went
environment.
From, you went from
no,
100 to 0
are,
in 3 seconds
serious?
Again.
No,
yes, I'm 100% serious. No, I'm not.
No, you're not. There's no
Where is
way.
My globe? I have a globe somewhere.
Yeah, think about it this way. Only certain areas are meant for humans to be in. He made the Earth for us, but he made it so that way other creatures could survive in it too, to provide for us. Got anything for that?
Nothing
Probably
that
not.
Lives on the bottom of the ocean is providing for me. Why did God create a planet
they
that's
provide
mostly
for the creatures
an
that
ocean?
Provide for us?
Why did God create an ocean that is mostly uninhabitable to humans if the Earth is perfect for us?
Because we don't need that much. I mean, that's like the clear answer. We don't need like to live in the ocean. Why do we need to do that when we have land?
He told us to be fruitful and multiply and then made it so we can't even exist on the majority of the Earth's surface.
Why do we need the majority of it?
If
we seem to be doing fine right
perfect,
now.
If it's perfect, then that's what you would expect.
The fact that we've made it, 6,000 years shows you that it's perfect.
I would say hundreds of thousands of years, but no.
Hundreds of thousands.
You know that like... close to like probably 30 or 40% of all the people that have ever been born died when they were kids from diseases that God for whatever
yeah,
reason
to make sure
decided to make
it overpopulated
and then not tell us about.
Yeah, it serves a purpose.
To make sure that we don't so God just kills little kids in order to prevent the world from being overpopulated. There's
you really
eight,
think you could understand you really think
okay,
you could
this is
ever
your claim.
Comprehend the necessity.
This is your claim. The reason so many kids died is to prevent the world from becoming overpopulated. There are currently 8 billion people on this planet. So how many children do you think need to die? We know, because you work for Turning Point, I know for sure you think all the Palestinian kids need to die. That's not enough, though. How many more kids need to die?
If we assimilated them, they wouldn't need to.
How many more? Okay, so you do think that all Palestinian children need to die?
I think that we need to help the Palestinians.
You said they wouldn't need to die. So you do think that they need to die.
That's not what I meant.
How many people today need to die?
Go ahead.
Because the world is obviously overpopulated. There's more people alive today than there ever was.
Can fit 11 billion people just fine.
Then there goes your explanation. You said
there's so many
God
corrupt
created.
Human beings that
you said
steal
God
resources.
Killed all the kids, all those kids throughout history to prevent the world from becoming overpopulated. Now you're saying,
and yeah, we're not overpopulated.
Now you're saying we could do 3 billion more humans. So there goes your explanation.
Yeah, he just didn't want it to happen too fast, I guess. I mean, like, I can't tell you. I'm not inside his head.
Oh, this is insane.
I'm not inside his head, buddy. I'm not inside his head. Like, I, though I might understand our relationship, I can't tell you what he's thinking right now. That doesn't make, like, what? I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what my roommate over there is thinking. Like, sure. I don't know.
So let me say something. The reason that most people died, is, like children, is because of diseases and birth defects and things like that.
Right.
This is a completely naturalistic explanation. And then we invented medicine. Why did that happen afterwards? Because the vast majority of the things causing that death are completely invisible agents to our natural senses. And so it could only come after a huge amount of time where we collectively gathered information and then started doing science and all this other kinds of stuff. So I gave an explanation. Your explanation was,
If evolution was true, wouldn't we be able to see these or at least detect these microorganisms?
No.
Why?
If God was good, wouldn't he make us aware of the things that have killed most of us?
He wants us to have free will and be able to discover things on our own. He gave us the creation for us to discover.
Having free will has nothing to do with whether... Then why did he have to send his son down? Why couldn't we just use our free will to save ourselves?
It's symbolic, something that we could understand. So anyways,
we keep not talking about evolution, which is partially my fault, but I think it's mostly your fault.
You say.
An organism's survival is not about knowing all possible things or having all possible abilities. I mean, I could just ask
but
you the
about
question,
being able to survive.
If God created us, then why don't we have wings so we can fly? It would be better
because
if we
why
had
would
wings.
We need to fly?
Why not? It would help us escape
what
natural
value
disasters.
Does it give us? Well, natural disasters are a necessity for people. They teach us. They teach us how to they give us the, what did I just get? What is that? Sorry, I just got a notification. I don't know what
that
is.
The God you believe in is like that really disturbed kid that just fries ants with a magnifying glass. That's the thing you believe in. It's so weird.
Dude, what? How is that like analogous at all?
God needs to create a world that kills countless billions of people because that teaches us lessons about things.
It teaches us how to prevent things so that when we finally reach the kingdom of heaven, we're fully matured. Our souls are matured.
Do you think parents should act like this? Do you think parents
should act like what?
Which parents
think
do you
parents
think
should educate their children?
Which two
get off the phones?
Which two? Well, I agree with that. Which two families do you think would be best? Family one has only 3 kids and they teach their kids everything they can think of. They teach them all the science they can think of. They teach them lots of like philosophy or whatever. They teach them, I don't know, like whatever. And
yeah,
these kids are really well.
They're teaching them to worship devils.
Oh,
I mean, nothing wrong with philosophy and principle unless you're like, metaphysics.
Just stop. So family A has only 3 kids and they teach them all these things. And so these kids grow up and they say no to drugs. They practice responsible safe sex. They don't drive their cars stupid. They don't drink and drive. They don't listen to RFK. They go through some hardships in life, but for the most part, they just have really good lives. Or Family B. Family B has like 100 children, and the parents basically don't teach their kids anything. Most of their kids die, but then the parents, like, they write down, or the kids write down how all their brothers and sisters died, and then they figure out basically through just brute trial and error and all these deaths what to avoid. Which parents did a better job? Family A or Family B?
Well, the first family had to go through the process that the second one did. The first ever family had to go through the process that Family B did. So I guess it was necessary for someone, right?
So
the first ever family in the history of the world. They had to go through the process of trial and error, figure out what was killing people, you know?
Yeah, so we can come to that. That's a decent rebuttal. But if we just compare families A and B.
You know, I prefer the one, I don't like either of them. I don't like the one that's just letting their kids die. But I also don't like the one that's sort of trying to implant false ideas inside their kids' heads. So I think I prefer the second one. Because actually, you know what? I prefer the first one because at least they're saving their kids' souls, right?
I never said they were Christian, but whatever. Okay, so Family A is better. But why is God Family B? So God can't be any good then. You said the first family had to go through that. No, they didn't. God could have just told Adam and Eve, hey, I'm gonna tell you just a few things. There are these things called germs. Wash your hands. Slavery is bad. I'm gonna go away now. And in a few thousand years, my son's gonna tell you some other things.
Think about it this way.
But God didn't do that.
How could they ever get critical thinking skills if they didn't have to figure this stuff out on their own? How are they ever going to learn how to be rational humans if they're just told how to do everything?
How many kids equals critical thinking skills? Man, you must think that
I guess
Hamas,
it's billions, right?
They must be the smartest people on earth because of how many children that
it's not how
your
many,
allies
it's
are killing.
Who learns from their mistakes? It seems like America learned from their mistakes at least, right?
No, we're at war with Iran. We didn't learn anything.
Yeah, to protect ourselves.
You are such a fucking idiot. Just a naive dipshit.
Keep going.
Was the Iraq war a great success?
No.
Okay. How's this any different?
How is this different? Because they have nuclear weapons.
Remember that?
That's how it's different.
God, you're an idiot. No, they don't. Who told you that?
Yeah, look at you. Yeah. Yeah. Look at you. You always have to come back to insults because you have nothing intellectual.
Remember that Iraq? Remember that Iraq was predicated on weapons of mass destruction too, which they didn't have. Iran has nuclear weapons. Who told you that?
Well, they're literally about to get them.
No, they're... They've been 2 weeks away from having them since 1985. Jeez, what's the deal with that?
What?
Buddy...
No, they literally are about to get them. They just brought in a team of the best scientists across the world.
Who told you that?
To come help them. What do you mean, who told me this? I was looking at empirical case studies to learn about this.
Where do you get your information from?
I mean, like, I don't know what you want me to tell you specifically.
Okay.
I mean, I like to read the Associated Press sometimes. That's my news source preference. I don't really like Fox News anymore.
Do you know that the last Ayatollah had a total fatwa on nuclear weapons?
Can you repeat that?
The previous Ayatollah, who's just killed not too long ago.
Right. Good.
You probably don't know what fatwa means. He had he banned the development of nuclear weapons. He said it's incompatible with Islam.
I mean, how do you know that? I doubt that, first of all, considering he was literally.
You know, we like to run. We like to make the comment, wow, these people can vote. This is so much worse because Toilet Paper USA is like a youth organizing apparatus, whatever we want to call it. So not only can that thing vote, that thing is going around regurgitating all the things it says in order to inspire people to vote. It's so much worse. Fucking A. God. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.